Yeah. Evan and Tiki on an Elimination Thursday. Tonight, there is one baseball game on TV. It is the one elimination game in this best of three. The New York Mets, the Milwaukee Brewers. More on the game as the show rolls on. But there's something very important I need to get off my chest concerning the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh, to me, as of right now, has not proven to be a good NFL head coach. Robert Saleh has proven so far to be a head coach that has not been able to fix certain issues that continue to bite this team in the tuchus, specifically dumb penalties. It's been going on since the day he got here. Robert Saleh is the head coach of a team with very high expectations. It felt to me, Teak, like last Sunday, they did not come out ready to play. Maybe that's not the case. That's how it felt watching as a football fan.
And then you give up a sack on the first play of the game, then, you know, you could probably say you're not ready to play.
That's my interpretation.
Yes.
So I will tell you, to my fellow Jet fans, every concern you have about Robert Saleh, I share. I am not defending Robert Saleh. But now we have to have the tough conversation. Got that out of the way?
Go ahead.
We all agree? The New York Jets are not and should not fire Robert Saleh in the middle of a season. It's stupid. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's not going to work. It's not going to make sense.
Right. The only reason you do that is to get a head start on hiring the next guy. But you kind of have an idea of who that next guy is. Or next guys, potentially your target.
That's why you
would do it.
You do it most of the time when you're just bad and you know it's over.
Yeah.
The Jets would be doing it the way baseball teams fire managers. Like that would basically be the same thing. Or the way NBA teams fire head coaches, which is, let me try it. The Bucks tried it last year.
Yep.
Didn't really work. We've seen it in baseball a lot. Let's fire the manager. It can spark the team. That does not work in the NFL. And for any Jet fan, because we're going to get more of this if the Jets lose. We're going to get more of this. Got to fire the head coach. Who do you think is coaching this team? So let me go through real quick those options. Let me start with your friend,
yeah.
Nate Hackett. Nate Hackett would be an obvious choice, right? He's been a coach before, even if it didn't go very well. He's got a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Would that be like the smoothest transition ever to say, all right, Nate, you're now the head guy. And what does it do?
Probably not, because he's, I don't know, it's just a weird circumstance with the defensive head coach. And now the offensive head coach takes over. Now he's still got the responsibility of being the offensive coordinator. So he's not managing. He's more just... I don't know what he would do.
That's the question. Like, what does that do?
Yeah.
Like, are the Jets going to stop making dumb penalties because Nate Hackett's the coach instead of Robert Saleh? Or Jeff Ulbrich, who's done a great job as defensive coordinator. Like, if you fire Robert Saleh and you promote Jeff Ulbrich, what does that do? So I think we would all agree, if we're being fair about this, firing Saleh and just promoting somebody on the staff.
By the way, why are we firing Robert Saleh?
Because
he's 2-2.
Because when things get bad...
But they're not bad.
Well, they're not bad.
They had an ugly loss. But they're not. Things aren't bad.
Not yet. But you know the way this works around here.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, I'm not saying they should fire Robert Saleh. I'm defending that it doesn't make any sense.
I just think the premature talk about something that is grossly hypothetical. It's not productive.
It's not even hypothetical. It's stupid. And this examination is to prove my point.
Right.
I'm proving the stupidity and the nonsensicalness that you and I agree on. I may dislike the coaching styles of Robert Saleh right now, but what I want to do is preemptively explain in very layman's terms why the idea of firing him is one of the dumbest ideas one could come up with. So we're on the same page.
Yes.
Let's get to the third one, because this is the other one we're going to get. Hire Bill Belichick. Okay, let's just walk through this real quick. Let's say Belichick, who really does hate the Jets, decides, I don't hate the Jets. I'll take the job. How would that even work in the middle of a season?
Right.
Would it work?
Well, no, you couldn't, because you have to go through the process. You can't just hire somebody in the middle of the season outside of the organization. Otherwise, you violate the Rooney Rule.
Right. So now you have to do a bunch of interviews.
Yes. You have to go through the whole process of looking at different coaches, interviewing a minority coach, going through this process, hoping that Bill Belichick doesn't decide to stay at whatever network he's at. Where is he? Is he Fox?
Bill Belichick?
I don't even know
what he's at.
Pat McAfee. ESPN.
ESPN, yes, because he's with McAfee. That's right. And he does
the Manning cast.
Yeah. I should know that. But anyway, so if he decides he loves that more, and all of a sudden you have this pipe dream for Bill Belichick, but Bill Belichick is like, I'm good where I'm at, dude. I'm 74 years old. this is a great way to be a part of the game without having to deal with the pressures of being a head coach / general manager. So even if you fire somebody with the idea that you're bringing someone else in, you don't know if that's going to work.
It can't work.
Right.
It's because even in the magical world, walk me through this, Tiki, and take me behind the scenes. They do the Rooney Rule. They interview a bunch of guys, and Bill's like, screw it, I want to be the head coach. And now in the middle of the Jet bye week, Bill says, I'm taking over because Robert Saleh's an idiot.
But you can't even go through that process in the middle of a season.
So then you can't do it.
Right.
Firing Robert Saleh is a non-starter. And when I say that on the radio, yes, it doesn't mean I'm defending him. It means it's not possible. The Jets made a decision, and it's fine to disagree with the decision. Sean and I argued about it during the offseason. Mm-hmm. That was a fine argument to have. Hey, should they move on from Saleh? Should they keep Saleh? But the one thing we all have to realize at 2-2, if it gets worse, and if the undiscipline continues, and if Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh, they don't get along.
Yeah.
Firing Robert Saleh is just this bloodthirsty idea that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's my point. And we went through all the different alternatives. Promote Nate Hackett, promote Jeff Ulbrich, go try to interview people in the middle of the season. It doesn't work. The Jets are in bed now. They have to lie in it. And at the end of the season, sure, they could blow the whole damn thing up. But right now, we have no choice but to hope that Robert Saleh is proving us wrong and he's a capable NFL head coach.
Yeah. And look, I think his team likes him. He is a player's type coach. Is it awkward sometimes with guys like Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But I still think he does right by his players, and they play for him. Now, does he have to correct things and be hard on them this week? Absolutely. Because the penalties, which are difference makers in tight games, are non-acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, they cannot be allowed to continue to play that way. Otherwise, you're not winning anything.
And it's been going on for years, though.
Exactly. Exactly. So that needs to change. How he addresses that is probably the most important thing that happened this week for this team.
I agree. Now let's go to the peanut gallery, because anything I say about the Jets, the peanut gallery thinks I'm somehow defending everybody. So I'll start with you, Sean. I just laid out my concerns on the head coach. All fair, I think. Pretty critical. But I also explained firing him is stupid. It doesn't serve any purpose. They can't actually do it. It can't fix this mess. So tell me if I said anything wrong. Is that all accurate?
Accurate. You're still very much in contention. As Tiki said, you're 2-2.
Thank
Football
you.
Isn't baseball. It's stupid to fire the coach until the end of the year when you're out of it.
Thank right. you, Sean, for contributing.
Your game
Thank
out
you.
Of first place in a division.
Thank right. you very much. All right, Tommy Lugauer, are you going to approve of my message as well?
You set me up perfectly because I thought you were going to do it. There's a but after what Sean just said. But, in my opinion, Robert Saleh is the worst head coach in the NFL. And I think Aaron Rodgers sang his praises last year because Aaron wasn't under his tutelage. He was there with him for four plays.
Right, right.
So now that he sees how bad he is, he's going to turn on him, and his buddy is the offensive coordinator.
So the only option is to fire Robert Saleh and promote Nate Hackett. And you say that would be a good idea as an IFL.
I think Aaron Rodgers is running the show. If Aaron Rodgers made the call right now to Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh would be hitting the bricks.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of power. I mean, I'd agree with that. I don't know if he's going to do that, though, because Tiki said something the other day that was very interesting, and it was just Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers have nothing to do with each other right now.
Right.
That basically Aaron runs the offense, uh-huh, and Nate runs the offense, and so they don't have to have a relationship.
Right.
So I don't know if it would ever come to that.
And even if they did, it doesn't matter if it's not a great one.
Right.
That was really my point. Like, I don't know why we get obsessed with, do you like the guy? Who cares? Can you work with the guy is the question they should ask. You may have an awkward relationship with someone, but do you work effectively with him?
That's the only thing that matters.
If the answer is yes, then who cares what else is going on?
Can I ask Evan a question? Can
sure.
you win a Super Bowl with Robert Saleh as your head coach?
There's been no proof that they can.
So then you have to
There's
fire
There's also
him.
Been no proof that you can't.
Exactly. That's why, see, that's my answer, and Tiki followed it perfectly, is why your retort of you have to fire him is a ridiculous retort. Because my question would be, can the New York Jets win a Super Bowl with firing their head coach in the middle of the season and either promoting Nate or hiring mm-hmm. someone else? Can they?
If you don't think that...
No. Can they win a Super Bowl if they fire Robert Saleh in the middle of the year and do whatever...
Well, I don't want to say anything bad about Nate Hackett. I don't want to annoy Tiki, but I
no, just say it. Well, I'm asking you a damn question.
No, I yes, yes.
They you can win a Super Bowl?
Yes, really? Yes. Because I
How often has that happened in the history of the NFL?
I don't know. Very I don't have the answer rarely. For that. Probably rare, Teague, right?
This I don't think ever.
Can I give one example and see what your counter is to this? I was told week one was a preseason game for the Jets. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan schooled Robert Saleh. Schooled him.
Okay.
His offense schooled Robert Saleh's defense. That's the type of head coach you're going to see in the playoffs.
Okay.
So can Robert Saleh rise to the occasion, whether it be on the defensive side of the ball or even the offensive side of the ball?
I just gave you an answer. I have no evidence that he can. I'm not defending him. I'm telling you that I don't have any evidence that he can. But I also believe if you're asking me, hey, okay, there are two options here. Which gives you a better chance to ultimately accomplish the goal of either winning a championship or going as far as humanly possible? Sticking with Robert Saleh and hoping that he becomes that head coach, or firing him in the middle of the year and doing something unprecedented?
But we've been hearing...
The answer's easy, Lugie.
Okay, but we've been hearing...
The answer's easy.
It's not easy because since Robert Saleh has been the head coach...
I know, you're just going to rip Robert Saleh. I agree with you about ripping Robert Saleh. I'm asking you which gives you the better chance to win.
I think the Jets are bleeding out here, and you got to do something to stop the bleeding.
And what would that be?
Get rid of the head coach.
And make who the head coach?
If you want to make Hackett.
No, I'm asking you.
I would make Nate Hackett the head coach, even though he was horrible in Denver.
So you think the Jets have a better chance to win a Super Bowl right now by firing Robert Saleh?
I think you have to change the message. I think Robert Saleh is holding a country club here, and there's no accountability. And that would mean that's why they have all these penalties on defense, because
I don't think that gives them a better chance to win.
2-2, they're bleeding out. Can we relax a little bit?
Well, hold on a second. He just had a bingo card 3 days ago about all the Jet disasters and why things are crumbling.
I do think that we're mounting evidence, but Jet fans, look, you see right there who the
you got some
is on
racket.
The show, and I apologize to all you guys. You guys deserve better.
Yeah, I mean, that was desperate. That's just, look.
That's terrible.
I don't trust Robert Saleh either, but what my point of this is, and I'm glad, Tiki, you early on said, so stupid to even talk about firing him. You're right. That's actually the point of the discussion.
Yeah.
To show that. Because sometimes it's just raw animalistic emotion to say, fire head coach. Well, okay, then what? Then what? Okay, I don't believe in Robert Saleh either. And maybe we're going to look back at January and say, boy, they made a really bad decision. They should have made a move then. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not January anymore. It's October. Firing the coach midseason does not give them a better chance to win.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And who's talking about this? Like, who's talking about firing Robert Saleh?
Every time the Jets will lose, Jet fans will scream it and say it. Even Joe said it. He said he may not make the season if this goes this way. That's what Joe said.
Yeah, but it's such negative thought.
Wow.
Because you had a bad game.
You can't blame us for being negative.
Yeah, but the same thing was said about the Mets and whether or not they would make the postseason. And you see what happens. They play an epic doubleheader, at least the first game of a doubleheader against the Braves, and they make the postseason.
Yes.
And they win one first game. So, I mean, it's just like, I don't know why negativity reigns supreme here.
Well, because they lost to the Denver Broncos 10-9.
Because we're psychotic, Tiki, in this town.
Yeah,
we're so desperate.
Vance Joseph is a good defensive coordinator, and the weather was terrible. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback.
I'm telling you.
At some point, he was going to be affected. Simply because of age.
Tiki, today is now Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. I said this on Tuesday. I said this on Wednesday. I am still feeling this way on Thursday at 4:12 p.m. I have a weird good feeling about the Jets on Sunday. And I don't know why. Maybe it is all the clouds hovering over.
Yeah, against Minnesota, you mean.
I do.
Yeah.
And no evidence would support that, right? The Vikings have gotten a great pass rush. Sam has played his ass off.
But they're due to lose football. They're due to lose a game, too.
Okay. Well,
I'm on the Jet wagon.
Oh, so you're helping me?
I am. I'm with you.
You thought I was nuts 24 hours ago.
No, as the week's gone on, the Jets are one of my favorite locks of the week.
Plus, I love for some reason, and maybe it's this franchise or maybe it's sports in general, when things are going well with these loser franchises I root for, they never last.
Yeah.
When things are going bad and you think, oh, that's it, that's when something good shockingly happens. The Jets are winning, no problem. And right now, there's so many clouds over. They lost 10-9. Rodgers has a bad knee. Saleh's not disciplining his team. Garrett Wilson said something that nobody knows how to construe. Like, Devontae Adams. Everything's adding up that this is a bleep show.
Yeah.
And that's usually when something surprisingly good happens.
Right. I mean, that's football.
That's football, Susan.
Right.
So, Sean, who's, I don't know, what is it, 3-20 on his picks this year?
I won a game on the night.
So he is 3-17. I have to double check his record, but it's not good.
So 3-17 for Sean and Evan, and I can't say it on the radio, but after the loss on Sunday, I can't trust these effers ever again.
Yes.
So you are the two that are confident for the Jets. Good luck.
No, I know.
Good luck on Sunday.
I shouldn't be.
But that's football. I think that's Evan's point. And you know what? They're not bleeding out. There's every reason to believe.
But Evan always says you can't use the they're due. Beningo used to do that in the picks.
I didn't say they're due. Sean said
I did. That's part of my
record. Okay, so then there was no pushback, though, from you saying that you don't like their due as an argument.
I was allowing Sean to have his own opinion. Yeah, do I have to yell at him over everything?
Because it doesn't matter whether or not he's right or wrong at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's over.
Calm down. Let me be a Tottenham here.
I mean, Sean's 3-19 in NFL picks. I almost think that's an accomplishment.
It's like, hard to do.
How could you get 19 of 22 games wrong? Yeah. How do you do that?
Ramen has been very prevalent in my house.
Like, I'm 11-11. Lugie's 11-11. That makes a lot of sense because it's 50-50. It's making picks. Like, who the hell knows?
Right.
Being 500 makes a lot of sense. Being 3-19 is not even human.
All right. Well, I'm not human. Get the T-shirts ready.
You know what the architect told me?
Yeah, what?
The architect of this company and radio station?
Bill Torrey.
He said, if it gets worse, you're off the show.
Really?
Yeah. I disagreed with it. I said, that's a little too harsh.
That's like firing the head coach mid-season. We're mid-ratings book. Can't be firing people.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. We got Yankee tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Ron is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Ron. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Good afternoon.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I love the show, man. I'm an avid listener.
We appreciate it.
Listen, man, I'm a diehard Mets fan, man. I'm gonna tell you, man, the thing I see was wrong with Pete is the pressure. The pressure of his contract, man, is what's killing him because he's caved under the pressure. He's folded. It's been doing it all season long.
You know what I wonder about, Ron? If it is the pressure of the contract,
yeah, and that's the easy answer, and it might be.
It may be. Shouldn't that be off come playoff time? I mean, the contract, your numbers are your numbers. It's over, right? This is what Scott Boras is going to take to his negotiation. So it's
done. It
doesn't
matter, right? It almost doesn't matter what you do in the postseason, other than helping you.
Right.
Because of how indifferent it felt in the regular season. Just good, but not great for Pete Alonso.
Right. Damian is in St. James. Hey, Damian.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Everyone's missing the point regarding Robert Saleh in terms of he deserves to be fired.
Right.
But the perfect person's in place that is there already, Nate Hackett. If Nate Hackett becomes the coach midseason, that completely galvanizes Aaron Rodgers because then his boy is the head coach. There's no more like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
to me, strategically, that's the best option.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And look, Nate has experience, put that in quotes, as a head coach, but he didn't make it through the year in Denver. That wasn't all his fault because he had Russell Wilson as his quarterback and it was just a bad marriage from jump, but it is what it is. It's not like he had 5 years of head coaching experience.
But here's my problem. What does Nate Hackett do if he's elevated to head coach that fixes the current Jet issues? What does it do? He's already running the offense with Aaron Rodgers, so that's going to make no damn difference. Now, I don't know Nate personally, but what is he going to do that's going to cause the penalties to stop, whether it's on offense or defense? Let's not act like the only Jet penalties were pre-snap penalties because of cadence.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Well, those are the ones you just remember.
Sure, and those are fair to bring up, but what about all the dumb penalties on defense we've seen for 4 years straight? So again, if you promote Nate Hackett because he's Aaron Rodgers' guy, and yes, he has head coaching experience, how does that fix the Jet current issues?
It doesn't.
It doesn't! So what's the point of it? It doesn't make sense to me. Richie in East Islip. Richie.
Okay, here's what I think. Okay, because I want Saleh gone. I wanted him gone 2 years ago when I used to call Kiki with Brandon. Yeah. All right, I would call them then. All right, worst coach in the league. So this is what I would do. Because Hackett's running the offense. You can't go with an offensive guy. You can't promote him because the defense is going to go south. Once you lose this guy, right? Because he's the rah-rah cheerleader for all the defense that he thinks is elite, but obviously is not even close to being elite. I would bring in Pete Carroll right away. He could jump right in here, run that defense. Everybody,
but he can't.
All right,
you can't do it.
You can't hire somebody that's not on staff and become your head coach.
Is that a firm rule, though?
I don't know, but I don't think I've ever seen it done.
No, I don't think you've ever seen it done either, and I think here are the complications. I think if you need to have an interview process.
By the way, what the hell does he know about what's going on with this team?
He knows nothing.
Exactly.
By the way, that's another point, which is why this whole idea is so nuts to me.
Yeah.
So I want to address it now so we never have to do this again. But let's say the NFL says, okay, you can interview people. It would probably mean that you can only interview people that don't have jobs.
Yes.
So now you're interviewing unemployed people for this job.
Yes.
And the ones that jump out at you are the legends like Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick. And then what? And then they're going to take over a program? Like, football's complicated.
And do it in, like, 2 days?
Right. It's not baseball. Just go manage. Just go manage the team. Yeah. Come off the street. Come out of the broadcast booth and manage, which, by the way, we've seen before. That's not... Or Doc Rivers in basketball. This is not football. That's not football.
So you're going to trade for Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's not a panic move. That's not a, hey, the ship is sinking, so let's get this shiny new toy. You're in favor of that, but not firing the head coach?
Well, first of all, none has nothing to do with the other. Trading for a football player in the middle of the season is like a normal football activity. Firing your head coach and hiring a guy who's sitting on his couch to then take over a program in the middle of the year is unprecedented and is crazy.
So you can hire Hackett then?
We just went through why that doesn't make sense.
Right. It's just too much to figure out in a short amount of time about the entire team. Like, you'd have to have been prepping to do this for a long time to just step in and take over a team.
It's asinine. And honestly...
And it works in baseball. You're right.
Because
it's like, this is who you have.
There's also 700 games to figure it out.
Right, exactly.
It also happens in basketball. I do appreciate your effort, Tommy. Like, I appreciate a good effort. Somehow trying to equate a football team trading...
It's never happened in football.
Right.
Ever. I can't... There's never been an instance of this. I don't know this for certain, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's never happened.
I don't think it's ever happened. And one other thing about Devontae Adams, if the Washington Commanders traded for him, is that a panic move?
No, but you...
If the Pittsburgh Steelers trade for him...
It did happen.
Who?
It did. Happened with the Colts.
Oh, with Jeff Saturday
came
off
the Saturday. They hired Jeff Saturday.
And had that work. That's a good call, by the way.
They played well for a little bit, then it fell off.
Worked well for 2 weeks?
Yeah, a week or two. But
you're right,
but he was also a consultant for Ursa.
He was affiliated with the organization.
Yeah, of course. That's why he hired
him. He was working TV, but yeah.
He was working TV, but he like was consulting with Ursa.
Now, that's a good call to at least bring up. But
that's
the example?
I was like, this happened. I know it did because I'm remembering that it did.
Yeah.
I just don't know what everybody's freaking out about. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have so much talent. Everything's fine, guys.
See, you're pissing me off even more.
You're doing
fake, condescending, everything's okay.
No, I just picked them to win.
Tommy's just making dumb points.
No, I'm not making dumb points.
Trading for a wide receiver is the same as panic firing your head coach and hiring someone off the
street. You are trading Devontae Adams because you don't believe that him and Garrett Wilson get on the same page.
No, that's not true.
So you're panicking because you're in bed with Aaron Rodgers. You don't know how many years you're going to have him.
Disagree.
So this is the Nets all over again.
No. Were the Jets trying or would they have tried to trade for Devontae Adams during the offseason?
They would have if he was
okay. Available. Thank you very much. This is not reacting to 2-2.
This is them so far down the rabbit hole of, and we could not use the word super team. Use a super team. Why not? At this point, you're so far down, you might as well add.
Is Robert Saleh the worst head coach in the NFL?
Well,
Evan?
Okay, you're arguing two different things. Let me get back to the Devontae. Go because
no, because your eggs are all in the basket of winning a Super Bowl, and Robert Saleh cannot do that for you.
Hold on, just stick to one thing at a time. Okay, you compared Devontae Adams being traded for as a panic move and compared it to firing a coach in the middle of the year. I'm pointing out that trading for a football player that they would have traded for in August is not a panic move. Do you think the Jets would have tried to trade for Devontae Adams at the draft? Just answer the question.
Yes.
Okay, so then it's not a panic move. We can move on. I love when I do that to him. It pisses him off.
Well, because Joe would just say you're 100% right, or Craig would start talking about a Livy Dunn or a sandwich. And I don't feel like arguing with
you
either.
Moving...
You know Robert Saleh sucks. Whatever you want to say.
You're changing the argument. Like,
I'm not. I'm just trying to draw a comparison.
It's not a good comparison. Even Tiki's looking at you like, I didn't want to pay attention.
It was such a
dumb comparison.
Seahawks panic move when they traded for Leonard Williams last year?
No, I agree with you.
Sean knows deep down what's going on here.
No,
he's just being a phony.
I am not being a phony. I know that was an opportunistic
thing.
If the Washington Commanders trade for Devontae Adams,
go ahead.
Is it a panic move?
No.
Okay.
I don't think
If the Pittsburgh Steelers trade for Devontae Adams, is it a panic move?
No.
If the Kansas City Chiefs trade for Devontae Adams, is that a panic move?
Maybe.
They're undefeated.
Yeah, no, but
it's called being opportunistic. They're down wide receivers.
Right. They don't have any wide receivers.
Trading for a football player is not an example as firing your coach. It's
and by
a terrible
the way, the
comparison.
Seahawks needed a 3-tech, and they went and got the best one in football.
Yep. Yeah.
Period.
It's not a panic move trading for a football player. What the NFL trade deadline has become, and it's fascinating. We talked about this last year. It's become the baseball trade deadline. Guys become available, and teams start to trade for them. That's really what it's come down to. Bad Tiki's joining us in a couple of minutes. We will give you a chance to win Yankee tickets in the 5 o'clock hour. And more of your calls. Met fans are nervous and pumped up, and Jet fans didn't care what me, Tiki, and Sean basically said. They're like, fire Robert Saleh. They're on Team Logie. Who cares if it doesn't make sense? Who cares if it's nonsensical? Just fire his ass. Game 3, winner take all later tonight. First pitch a little after 7 o'clock. Yankees will get started on Saturday. Game one of their ALDS against the Kansas City Royals. We'll get back to your calls in a few minutes. We'll also give you a chance to win Yankee tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But it is Thursday, a little after 4:30, which means it's time for a little warning. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. And Bad Tiki, as always, is brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. Welcome back, Bad Tiki.
Hey, guys, it's so great to be back on the show on this Friday Eve. Just get me to Friday. Am I right? We are one day away from that Friday freedom. Friday, ahoy! Fri-yay can't come soon enough. Bad Tiki loves a Bad Tiki. Fritty die!
Okay, Bad Tiki, you seem like you're in a pretty good mood today. You got some big plans over the weekend or something?
That's really a great question, regular Tiki. Everyone already knows Bad Tiki is the king of the weekend. But this week is all about Friday. I can't wait to cross that. It's finally Friday finish line. I'm so excited. I feel like Evan Roberts getting a tour of Chester A. Arthur's childhood home. What a loser. The suspense is killing me.
I don't remember you being so excited for Fridays in the past, Bad Tiki. What's going on with Friday?
Lovely question, Mirage. Fridays are the best for three reasons. First of all, it's payday. You know, Bad Tiki loves getting paid. Get that, Bad Tiki. Manai, bye, bye. Second, there is something so satisfying about finishing off a long week of honest work. My over 30,000 Tikis and I like to tie one on at happy hour on a day like this. Bad Tiki Hour. Bad Tikis unite. See you at Security Dodge, Bad Tiki Brothers. I know my girl Michelle will be waiting for us.
Bad Tiki, that does sound like a very fun time, but most of our listeners will be tuning into the Met game tonight. It's a must win.
And that, Evan, brings me to reason number three. Tomorrow will be the very first day of the Mets being officially eliminated. It's a day I will cherish and celebrate for generations. The Brewers will finish the job once and for all, putting an end to all the excitement, belief, and good vibes. I've had enough. OMG, I can't wait.
Come on, Bad Tiki. Why do you hate the Mets so much? What'd they ever do to you?
Jeez.
Bad question, regular Tiki. Don't get it twisted. I don't have any issue with the Mets, their organization, or even their fan base. You're not seeing where I'm coming from. Bad Tiki is misunderstood.
Then what is it? Oh, I know. You want to see me suffer. You want to see my favorite team lose and watch me mope around.
Evan, that does sound great, but no, this is about that annoying, repetitive little shrimp. Positive Tommy. This is the only way to put down Positive Tommy once and for all. Sorry, Mets fans, but you have to bite the bullet on this one. I must do what is right for my 32,000 Tikis and for our country. I'm a patriot. Give us freedom by giving Positive Tommy death. Bad Tiki has your back, America.
All right, Bad Tiki. You can run your mouth all you want. I believe in the power of positivity. I believe in Positive Tommy, and I will lead us, along with Seymour Wiener, a great American, along with the rally pimp, along with that fat slob grimace, and of course, the OMG song, and my girl, the final Infinity Stone. That's right, the Hawk to a Girl. And as you know, Bad Tiki, Hawk to a Girl is the female loogie.
I thought you were the female loogie. Focus, Bad Tiki. Don't go off topic. Tonight it all comes to an end for the positive one. I formally invite you all to the funeral of Positive Tommy. Dearly beloved, join us as we gather tonight at Citi Field to celebrate the beautiful journey and demise of Positive Tommy, possibly the most insufferable Mets fan in all the land. Rather than mourn, let's share stories, laughter, and memories of a downfall that will bring joy to so many. Let us toast to the incredible impact Positive Tommy had on all of us. Don't cry because it sucked. Smile because it's finally over. Thanks for bringing us all together. Burn in hell, Positive Tommy.
Man, Bad Tiki, can you give the guy a break? He's just trying to be positive. That's
Shut
all.
Up, Evan. Do you really think you look like Jackson Churio? More like Jackson Zerio? I hate you so much. Saying you look like Churio is like saying I look like regular Tiki. Bad Tiki is his own man.
Wait, hold on, Bad Tiki. Aren't you based off of me? You should look exactly like me.
Wrong, regular Tiki. Fact check. I am considerably more handsome. I have gorgeous thick locks of hair, and I am so much taller. I am 7 feet tall. 7 foot tall, bad Tiki. I am not small. I am big. Big, tall, bad Tiki.
All right, bad Tiki. Just a question. Who do you think will have a longer and more prosperous career in New York? Pete Alonso or Positive Tommy?
Sean. This is the best question. The answer is Pete Alonso. While Positive Tommy will be officially dead, Pete will go on to have a decorated career for the Chicago Cubs. He will cement his Hall of Fame legacy as he obliterates the Mets every time he sees them for years to come. Congrats, Pete. You deserve it. Okay, well, it's time for me to go. I don't get paid by the insult. I hate you guys. R.I.P. Positive Tommy. Sorry you're dead now. Oh, and Evan, take your time with the sad Rico Brogna tonight. Mrs. Roberts and I have tickets to the Jimmy Carter 100th birthday gala. Sorry you can't make it, but you weren't invited. It's going to be so lit. Bad Tiki. Out.
All right. Thank you, Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki is always brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Shop 24/7. It's SecurityDodge.com, and come get some. And we do remind you, Bad Tiki is just a sentient AI-generated being, not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFA, and Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment.
Tommy, I'm sorry you're dead. Sorry that Bad Tiki killed you off.
That's his plan.
I'm sorry that he has ill intent for your positivity.
Mm.
Well, Bad Tiki, along with the No Fun Police, is going to have a very long night tonight when they are wrong.
Well, I think he's not going to care. He's at the 100th birthday of Jimmy Carter.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's that about?
By the way, speaking of gala events, and I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but I'm excited that the Mets are trying to do it. They are having a watch party.
Yeah,
at Citi Field tonight.
It's the first time they've ever done this.
I'm pretty convinced this is the first time they've ever done it, because remember, the last time they were in the playoffs, all the games were at home. The previous time they were in the playoffs, 2016, the game was home. And I don't remember any kind of watch party for the 2015 World Series. I think it's kind of a great idea. I'm not going tonight, not because I don't think it's a great idea, but because my kids are off from school for the holiday,
yes,
and they get to stay up late. But in general, I think the idea is very good.
Right.
And I think if there's a weekend game, like, dare I say, the Mets advance, and they play the Philadelphia Phillies, and those games would be Saturday and Sunday afternoon, that's not a bad way to consume your team playing. So I'm glad the Mets are doing it. I wonder if the Yankees are going to do it. I mean, would you go to a Yankee Stadium event in which you watch them play on the big screen TV?
I'd rather eat kitty litter. That's not for me.
Really?
Yeah. No. If you're not watching, look. Bless everybody who's going. And by the way, Citi Field, much better screen than Yankee Stadium. So
that's true.
Be right. Cool to do it. If, for me, if I'm not at an actual game, I'm not into like watch parties out of the stadium. Give me my close bathroom. Give me my own food. I'm good.
Unless it's like a World Series.
No. Even then, I'd rather be home.
Yeah.
I'd rather be home.
I commend you.
Why is that?
I commend him, Tiki.
Why?
I do my research.
And?
May 28th, 2016, on Twitter, Sean Morash.
Oh, God.
I will never understand going into an arena when your team is on the road for a viewing party. Don't you guys have a couch, chips, and cheaper beer? I commend you.
Well, Sean Morash.
Consistency.
That was Sean Morash.
That was Sean Morash.
Oh, nice. Consistent nice. Take.
Right. I got that one.
I was so ready for you to say it sounds cool, and I was going to post and toast you on a Thursday. But, you know, all these years have gone by. You're very consistent.
I've never got that. Even, like, when the Raptors won the title and everybody was out the outside there. Like, to me, isn't that... I know you want to be part of the environment. If you're really a diehard fan,
but isn't that
hard to consume it that way?
But isn't Toronto, isn't that, like, an open space bar?
Yeah.
There's bars everywhere.
I'm not saying it's not cool in a
theme. I've never been, so I don't know. I don't know what it's like.
But that feels more like casual, I want to be part of the scene, than, like, living and dying with every momentum of a game.
I'll tell you the positive to it on why I would consider going. Okay, and I would still consume the same game. I would score it. I would be into it. There's something about a sporting event in which you're side by side with your fellow man and fellow woman, and you're both passionately into the same team.
Yeah.
And you can complain to each other about the bad things that happen, or second and first guess Carlos Mendoza together. There is some kind of unity when you're all together. And you're in the ballpark. You got the ballpark sounds, the ballpark smell. It's almost like you're at the game, even if you're not really at the game.
Yeah, but how much more does traffic suck leaving when you didn't even watch a game in front of you, watching
on
TV?
But you gotta. It's not gonna be sold out, is it?
That doesn't stop road work on the Grand Central.
I don't think it would be sold out. My guess would be a couple of thousand.
Yeah, so I think that it actually might be cool given the small nature of it. You know what I mean? Where it's not a traffic pain in the butt.
Oh, no, it's not that at all.
And so...
Well, it's New York. There's traffic every time you leave anywhere.
No, you leave Citi Field at 10 o'clock at night tonight?
You'll be fine.
Yeah, no, you're right. There won't be any pothole repair on the Grand Central.
Not at all. And by the way, it's Rosh Hashanah, too. So, like, people are home.
True.
At least a lot of people.
I do think that if the Mets go on a run, because I kind of think it's ending tonight. I kind of have this sick, disgusting feeling in my stomach that I'm trying to get out of it, but I kind of have this bad feeling it's going to be bad. I have this bad feeling Sean's going to be right about everything. Like, they're going to lose listlessly tonight. That's like this weird, horrible feeling I have. But more on that later. If they got to an NLDS and then an NLCS, or dare I say a World Series, let me draw you a hypothetical and tell me if this wouldn't be badass. The Mets are playing the Yankees. They did it. They got the story that Tommy wants, that maybe all of New York wants. It's Mets-Yankees in the World Series. It's the hottest ticket in the world, right? It's going to cost a fortune to get into that building, and there's only 42,000 people that can go. Game one's at Yankee Stadium. Citi Field is open. $5 to get in, $10 to get in, donation. You don't think Citi Field would be packed to watch Mets-Yankees World Series?
I think for that one, it would be. For the Mets-Yankees. Now, they didn't do this, though, when they did play.
2000? Nah. Plus, also, watching on the sharp screen at Chase Stadium would have been very, very lame.
Yeah, technology's also changed.
It's the technology. Like, the Citi Field scoreboard is so enormous that you're watching on a huge screen TV. It's pretty cool.
And you can, it's like the concessions are open. Yeah. You go get a beer. I think that would be cool.
I think the further this goes, the bigger deal it would be. I don't know how many people will be there tonight. Obviously, if you're going, certainly let us know. 888-808-1019. But I would guess it's not a lot.
It's free? It's available for it?
Season ticket holders are free. I think for everyone else, it's like a $10 donation to the Met Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which makes me feel...
So it's not prohibitive. You can go if you want.
Yeah, it makes me feel, by the way, I'm not going, but if I was going, I got to give the donation, don't I?
Yeah, you have to. Now, do we know what the Met Foundation is?
Yeah, Alex Cohen runs it, and it's a charity. What's it for? It's for charity.
It sounds kind of George Costanza Human Fund-like.
Stop.
It's a Mets Foundation.
Stop it.
Where is that going, Soto?
You want to go through the details?
No, I'm just curious.
I'm sure it goes to some charity.
Usually you hear a foundation with, you know, proceeds going to, you know, cancer research or whatever. And I'm sure it's something like that. But when you hear Met Foundation, it sounds like the Human Fund.
Yeah. Stop. He sounds like a jackass, doesn't he?
He really does, man.
Well, if you're going tonight, have a good time. Hopefully it ends in a jubilation celebration. Let's go to Scott in Jackson, New Jersey. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, but as a fellow Met Jet fan, we kind of had that bad feeling. Once it got 3-1 and they were squandering one lead after squandering all those runners. So we had a bad feeling last night. Never comfortable.
Yeah.
But my comment is about Pete Alonso, unfortunately. Listen, the guy, you want to root for him because he's such a good guy. He cares about New York. He wants to be here. I don't understand how any athlete can get pressure on a contract. So you make $20 million instead of $30 million. You're not giving up food stamps doing that. That's crazy. come on, let's get real here. But the fact is, he's not a clutch player. You actually heard Ron Darling accidentally say it one game this year. He's not clutch. And we know it's just simple. We tripped over a bat like that.
Scott, he hasn't had a clutch season. I think that's far different than he's not a clutch player. And that's what gets repeated over and over again. Like I don't buy that. I never felt that way watching him every day for the last 4 or 5 years that he's just not a clutch player. He's not had a clutch year. And I think that's a very, very big difference that needs to be kind of taken apart. And as far as you can't understand why someone would feel pressure when they're going to make millions anyway, I'm going to try to make a comparison. I don't know how good it is, but I'm going to try. All right? You have a lottery ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to get how many numbers right? Like 7 or 8 numbers, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
The first 5 numbers are right. Okay? And now, the special contest. You got the first 5 right. You got to drive to a place where they're going to announce the last 2 numbers, and you may win $50 million. When you're in the car, are you nervous?
Nervous? Yeah. Maybe not.
But I'd be freaking out.
I think excited.
Excited and nervous?
I don't know if I'd be nervous, because there's nothing negative's going to happen.
What?
It's all positive.
And that's the thing with Pete, though, where you're going to make money either way, but there's a difference between cashing in with a big year and not cashing in. Like, I think you would still be nervous and depressed, even if you're going to be a millionaire either way.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd be nervous.
Oh, I would.
I think I'd be excited.
Dude, when Santa would come every year, I'd be nervous. Now, I knew I was getting something cool, right? Santa never misses. But there's still, like, that nervous excitement.
Oh, is it the Gold Dust action figure? Oh, please, give it to me.
That's the one you come up with?
I was excited for my Gold Dust one.
Were you?
It would be more like Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels as the Rockers when Evan was a kid. Gold Dust came when he was an adult. It'd be more for Jet now. Don't you send Santa a list, though? And you don't trust the big guy to
never
come
did
through?
A list as a kid, no. I just figured he knew. Mm.
Time out.
Whoa.
You who writes everything down,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
You didn't write Santa a list?
Didn't do it. I figured Santa, since he's watching us.
Did you do a list once and it didn't? And Santa didn't bring it?
I'm like, no.
And then you got mad at Santa?
I never did a list.
You said, all right, screw you, Santa.
No, I would never say, first of all, that's ridiculous. I think as a kid, I understood the Santa thing. Like, it made sense. Like, okay, so this guy somehow knows if we're naughty or nice and is traveling to all these different cities in such a quick amount of time. There's obviously a magic involved. Well, if he's got that magic, he's going to know what I want anyway.
No, the list is the magic. He's making a list. He's checking it twice.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to check the list because he already knows what I want.
There's still thousands of kids. He knows if you're naughty or nice, but whether you wanted Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, that is to be determined.
Maybe that explains why Santa, always gave good gifts, but not always exactly what
I want. And then
you
got to sing for the Christmas spirit. Come on, man. Your clothesometer is all off. You got to make a list.
But I'm psyched for Christmas time. I don't know about you guys.
But here's the good news. I know that my boys are making lists. So they've learned from Dad's mistakes that I don't make a list.
I was going to ask you that. Good.
By the way, you're excited for Christmas?
Super pumped.
I had a great discussion with a guy today, the father of one of my son's friends. I walked to the house to drop Jet off of this play date. And he had the Halloween stuff to the hilt. I was very impressed. And I said to him, your house is major league. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, I didn't know when to start. Like, I was looking around at the neighbors. I was like, when did they put their Halloween stuff? And I was like, screw your neighbors, man. A week ago, I built that 9-foot witch. Actually, I didn't build it. My father-in-law did.
Put together
the 9-foot witch. And then he and I put together the 12-foot skeleton. And I was like, why not? It was a weekend. It was technically September, but let's go. Are we good now to put the Halloween stuff up?
Yeah, we're in October, man. It's spooky season.
Right. Tracy put it out today.
Today she did.
We have ghosts. There's a spider on the window.
Nice.
Yeah.
So your official date is you got to wait for October?
I think that was Tracy's official date.
Okay.
And we're you're asking October? Me like I have any control over that at all.
You don't?
I have none.
The problem is it doesn't really get the fall weather yet, so you feel like,
that's because
70 out.
Global warming. It stays warm.
Yeah.
I actually jumped in my pool today.
I put my cover on. Good for you.
Nice.
It was freezing.
Well, I love maximizing the Halloween stuff because it's not a long period of time. Because on October 31st, it's over.
Yeah,
like, you have your day, it's done.
Mariah Carey pops out of the tomb, and away we go.
I think we should go Labor Day Monday. I think that's the day to put the Halloween stuff on.
No, because you're disrespecting summer.
Yeah.
Why? Summer's over.
No, it's not. It's still hot. It's still in the 90s. And Labor Day.
So if you're in Florida, you can't celebrate Halloween because it's hot?
They're different.
We're not talking about Florida residents. We're talking about the Northeast.
So we need the weather to be crisp?
Where the weather is perfect. Where it changes like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Where you get every season.
I'm with you, by the way.
So you live by the weather. When the weather starts to get a little chill in the air, then maybe you can think about Halloween.
Yeah.
But not before then.
Okay.
When it's 90 still? No.
Okay, we're not even in pumpkin beer season.
I didn't do Labor Day Monday. I did last Saturday. So it was a day in September, but we all agree we got to put the Halloween stuff up.
I forgive you. It's close enough.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Good for you.
Thank
get that
you.
Skeleton up. Make sure it's down on the first, though.
No, trust me. We're going to get it down immediately. Though, one of the ideas my kids have is that we could turn the Halloween stuff into Thanksgiving stuff and Christmas stuff.
Oh, the idea I gave you last year?
Oh, that was your idea?
Yeah.
Jet totally ripped you off. Because he told me
that
today.
We discussed it on the show.
Do you think he heard the show?
People do it on Long Island. Those big 7-foot skeletons, then there's a turkey thing on, the pilgrim thing, then there's a Santa hat on, then there's shooting an arrow like Cupid for Valentine's Day.
Oh, like
Day.
The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes. Then suddenly there's a leprechaun hat on.
There's a guy near where I live. And everybody, please reserve judgment, okay? Because we don't want to be political around here. I just want to describe it, okay? So be careful, Sean. He's very active politically back there. There's a guy who made a Trump house. He's got a blow-up Donald Trump.
What?
I swear to God, There's a blow up Donald Trump in the guy's yard. And then there's like light up Trump signs. Like it is, we call it the Trump house. We're like, oh, here's the Trump house.
Get your fat ass out of the couch.
It is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. It's lit up. But the blow up Trump freaks me out every time I drive by.
Why?
Because it's so real. I'm like, is that what is happening? Yeah. So very, very impressive. So people like to put stuff in their yard. The political signs are boring. I see that on every other block now.
That's the thing.
Harris walls, Trump, Vance, whatever.
You put up your Halloween decorations. Halloween doesn't lose, right? So November 1st, you take it down. No shame. You put up political stuff, your side loses. That's a tough takedown the day after election.
You got to take it down the next day. I agree with you. I think even if you win, you got to take it down. I think the political sign rule is day after the election, even if they don't declare a winner, by the way. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's called or not. Signs have to come down. That's a rule. We're writing that down. It's a brand new Evan and Tiki rule. Thank you very much. Do I have to say goodbye to SNY? Are they leaving us?
Yes, just one second. I got to get you the sponsor.
Well, let me thank SNY. They joined us a little bit earlier today because they're doing extensive coverage of the Mets and the Brewers playing a winner-take-all Game 3. So you got your 2 hours of Evan and Tiki. Baseball night in New York is coming up. You'll enjoy that. They'll give you a pregame show, and they'll also give you a postgame show. What was that? Why are you yelling at me, Sean? I'm trying to explain our partners, SNY, and how they do a great job.
SNY is a great job. Just know, SNY, that we know that you're brought to us by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers, which Loogie is getting the exact read to you now. We're having a live production meeting.
I didn't need the read. I know it's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer. Like, I know that I should say, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer, coming up next on SNY. I didn't need a damn piece of paper to tell me that. We love SNY.
Right.
We do. We love
it. Every day.
Every day. Now, someday, would it be nice to be on for 4 full hours, Sean?
Yeah, we were once.
Well, we were what, twice?
Or twice.
Three times.
Maybe three times.
Yeah. Great Ritz Bits, too.
What was that?
Great Ritz Bits in their snack cabinet.
Yeah, they do a good job. They do a hell of a job. But thank you, SNY, for hanging out with us. When we come back, Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo list, and we'll get you set for tonight's Mets-Brewers game. We'll check in on the lineups, and it is not easy. But managing a winner-take-all game is very, very different than managing any other game. We go through what needs to be done tonight as Carlos Mendoza tries to manage the Mets to the National League Divisional Series. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.